Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you're able to join me for the broadcast today. Well, we've been sharing on a ministering heart, and we've been looking, as we concluded yesterday's broadcast, about the two great commandments that Jesus declared in Mark, the 12th chapter, of about loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, mind, strength. That's the first commandment, and the second one is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these, Jesus said. And so our love for the Lord flows in the same channel, if you will, as our love for others. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25 and 40? It's recorded that the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. If we refuse the love that is ready to come to us from the Lord, if we don't receive it or can't receive it, then we can never really know what true love is. And many of us, I don't know if you've ever struggled with this, but we would never consciously refuse His love, but we just feel we're unworthy of it. We carry with it that the weighty idea that His love has somehow to be earned or deserved. And of course, this can carry over into all of life, and sometimes it can be traced back to our childhood, where we learn to think that all love is conditional. You know, if I'm good enough, if I can, if I don't mess up, I can be rewarded. If I'm good enough, if I'm not good, I can only expect to suffer for that wrong that I did. But the fact is, beloved, not one of us is good enough to receive God's love. It only comes unconditionally. Well, or perhaps we could say there is one condition, that is we have to open up to it, we have to receive it. And that's why we need our hearts to be softened so we can open up to the love of God. In fact, I'd like to take just a moment now and pray that. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, there are many that are listening to me today, and they know that You're a great God and that You are the epitome of love. Your love is perfect, but Lord, sometimes it's so hard to receive it because we've been conditioned by the conditional love that parents or spouses or family members or school situations, the relationships we've had in our lives that have made it conditional, that if we performed a certain way, we'd be loved and treated well, and if we didn't, we would be shunned or rejected. And so, Lord, I'm just asking that You would make Your love, which is available, it has to be received. And so, Father, right now we open our hearts to receive that love. Heal the parts in us that have been hurt and still hold a fear of being hurt again. So, Lord, Your love can heal every wound, and that Your love, Lord, can be free to flow out to others. And Lord, as we do this, our love for You will be perfected. Lord, we just come against any hindrance, any obstacle that would hinder us from receiving the fullness of Your love. Let Your love flow into those who are listening, Lord. Let it tear down self-hatred and insecurity and inferiority and rejection so they can properly love themselves. And if we would love ourselves and be whole and healed in the Lord, we will then be able, the Lord, to love with Your love. Lord, I thank You for it. Praise God. You know, as I think about the so many Christians that I've known, they express and are very consistent in their willingness to organize their daily life schedules, work or recreation, and they, you know, work with great zeal and haste to see it accomplished, and yet sometimes we refuse to organize our lives for God, if you will. Maybe that's not the best word, but to prioritize the things that are really important. And if we're not putting the Lord first, we're like snails climbing a glass mountain. You know, in the world, we have to do certain things in order to keep a job. And for God, well, he understands, and I'll get to it as soon as I can. Or, you know, I'm really going to get my life together one of these days. And we can be so small-minded because our jobs are a necessity. Well, you know, we'll work, we'll sacrifice almost anything to keep it, to see that our work is done. But sometimes people serving God don't mind it at all when they're slothful or rebellious or uncaring or unloving or injurious to others. God had priests in the Old Covenant that were set aside to minister to him. And God has not really changed. That which was a type and a shadow in the Old Covenant became a fully realized pattern and work in Jesus Christ. And the New Testament Christian is called a priest unto God, part of a royal priesthood. In Revelation, the first chapter, Jesus said that he has made us kings and priests unto our God. And so often, another paradox we could find in the church today is that there are those who labor to minister and see sinners saved and administer the affairs of the church, but with a carnal attitude of seeing how many people we can get saved and joined to the church, how much of an input and exertion of influence we can have in the administration of church business and affairs by our giving. And it seems like so many are more interested in a head count than in the real salvation experience that only God can give. Beloved, God alone gives the new heart. God alone puts a new spirit within us and gives a man his very divine nature. And of course, what I've just shared, I mean, of course, seeing sinners saved or seeing a church grow, those are important, those are good, and certainly reaching sinners should be a great concern of ours, but if we do it our way, beloved, it's of little value. If we do it God's way, it is of more value than we have words to describe. Let me clarify that last statement. If we've been seeking to meet the needs around us for a wrong motive, because it just looks good to those around us or to the brethren, or if it makes us feel good in our hearts, what's really going on? It's massaging our egos. And then we're doing a lot of good things through the wrong motive. On the other hand, if our efforts are to serve the Lord in what we do, and we desire to minister to him, then all we do is motivated for that pure objective, then God will honor our efforts. Beloved, a servant's heart, a ministering heart, is a heart which loves to minister to the Lord. And thus motivated, all selfish purposes are laid aside, and all we do will be as an act of ministering to him. Remember when Jesus was in the home of Mary and Martha was busy doing so many needful things, but it was her attitude. She was pushed out of shape. She said, "Jesus, why don't you get Mary to come and help me?" And Jesus responded because Mary was sitting at his feet, hanging on his words, listening to him. He said that Mary hath chosen the better part and it would not be taken from her. Beloved, when we do work for the Lord, it has certain attractions for the flesh. It's interesting. It's exciting. And, you know, if you're in a public situation in the limelight, it may thrill you because you're able to hold people's attention. And there's a danger that you might be consumed with a desire to count numbers, how many are saved and how much has been done, something that could be measured in tangible terms. And while many things can be thrilling, in spiritual terms, they're considered of low priority. Some of you may want to preach, and you may wish you could be so knowledgeable that you could astound people with your ability to understand or explain God's word or to have some new revelation. But what about what God has you doing right now? Many of God's people think that what they do is a spirituality when in fact it's merely a matter of natural preference. And unfortunately, a lot of work done for the Lord is not really ministry to Him. God tells us that there was a class of Levites who busily served in the temple, and yet they were not serving Him. They merely served the house. Service to God and service to the house appears to so much alike that it's hard to differentiate between the two. If an Israelite came to the temple and wanted to worship God, those Levites would help him offer his peace offering, his burnt offering, and they would help him drag the sacrifice to the altar, and they would kill it. And they must, it must have seemed a glorious work, basically reclaiming sinners and leading believers closer to the Lord. And God took account of the service done by those Levites who helped men bring their peace offerings and their burnt offerings to the Lord. And yet, God said, it was not ministry to Himself. A ministering heart is in those who desire to draw near to Him and stand before Him. Well, my time is gone, and to really clarify what I've been sharing, we need to go into the 44th chapter of Ezekiel, and we'll just pick up there tomorrow. I invite you to tune in at this at the same time, and we will go on and, with the Lord's help, complete this message that I've been sharing. I do want to, in the last few moments, invite you to write and share your prayer requests. Your letters are received by me. They're confidential, and I will personally pray and send back to you in letter form through the postal service whatever God gives to bless and encourage your heart. I just want to thank you so much for joining me. God bless you for your prayer support. And if God is moving on you to write, please obey Him. He has a reason for doing that. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.